It's Friday, the 15th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Donald Sloan. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Ginger Burger. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast just like Ginger Burger, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, or you could be like Moneyball and be the sponsor of the podcast for a season. Moneyball is Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, so get involved with Moneyball. I know quite a few listeners to the podcast scored some pretty big scores on Moneyball today, so make sure you're getting involved and getting amongst the action, challenging your mates, creating some leagues, joining the big tournaments, all that sort of stuff that DFS is great for. All right, there is obviously a fair bit to get to, some pretty huge performances, some monstrous ones, in fact, news to talk about, games to preview. Let's not waste any more time.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night, I don't think there's any drama. I don't think there's any anticipation. It was Jimmy Butler.
Because he's my butler.
He sure is. He was fantastic for the Bulls. Now, this was a real weird one to me, because heading into the game, Butler had an ankle injury. You know, we thought he was going to play. Maybe he wasn't going to play. They were playing the Sixers, the Bulls. We thought, okay, maybe they're going to blow them out. Butler can rest. But no, he played 49 minutes. He scored 53 points. 53. The highest score in the NBA this season, equal with Steph Curry. He hit two triples, had 10 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, went 15 of 30 from the field, and went 21 of 25 from the free throw line. He hit half of his three-point attempts as well. He was absolutely incredible. Really, really just massive. And really the reason the Bulls got over the line against the Philadelphia 76ers. Butler's last month has been fantastic. Definitely, he started off the season a little bit slow. I think that's fair to say. I don't think I'm saying anything too outlandish to say that he did start the season off a little bit sluggishly. But over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging over 30 points a game. Over 5.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.5 threes, half a block on 48 and 85. Coming into the season, I thought Jimmy Butler's going to be a pretty good player. He's going to be maybe a little bit better real life player than fantasy player. How is he going to be better than what he was last year, was what I was thinking. He took that much of a step. How is he going to be that much better when he's probably going to be playing less minutes? Well, he's playing the same minutes, but he's improved his scoring. He's getting more rebounds, more three-pointers, more assists, the same steals, more blocks. These things are incredible. He's shooting the exact same free throw percentage, which is amazing, but he's going to the line more often, which obviously helps in fantasy as well, more volume. And he's just been great. And his three-point shot hasn't fallen this year. He's only a 34% shooter this year as opposed to 38. But he has started off the season, yeah, I said a bit slow, but really cranked it up about 10 notches over the last couple of weeks, especially. Over the last month, he's been awesome as well. And there's an argument to be made that Jimmy Butler's the best shooting guard in the NBA. And James Harden will have something to say. Klay Thompson might have something to say, but I think at this point, Klay Thompson, if he has something to say, that we should ignore that, because Jimmy Butler he's doing everything at the moment. He has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. The waiver wire line of the night, Mario Chalmers of the Memphis Grizzlies. He really took advantage of the fact that that Mike Conley was out. Again, played 42 minutes, and that's what happens when there's no other point guards on the team. 42 minutes. 25, 3 and 8, 4 steals with 2 triples. Chalmers was a guy I really liked in Miami. I thought he was consistently underrated. And even though he was playing a 27-minute starting role, I thought he was a guy I had on, I reckon, maybe last season or the year before, I don't remember. I had him on pretty much every one of my fantasy teams. I think he's a tremendously underrated player. He moved to Memphis and his role just wasn't going to be there. But now that Conley's injured, he's showing what he can do. I really think Mario Chalmers is a very, very talented and underrated player. He's putting up incredible numbers. His last 2 weeks is giving him 15 points, 3.5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes. He's not a great shooter. He's only a 42% guy over the last 2 weeks, 41 on the year, but he's able to rack up, you know, defensive numbers, steals and threes, and he's adding the assists. And he's been a, you know, I added him when Conley missed a game earlier in the week as a streaming option, and then I dropped him for someone else. I should have kept him because the last 2 weeks have been incredible. I didn't realize that Conley was going to be out this long, and Chalmers is not going to have standard league value when Conley returns. But for now, you're getting top 50 numbers out of him, and it's incredible. And we know that if something was to happen to Conley as a real long-term issue, then you're spending, you know, 70% of your fab budget to go and grab Mario Chalmers, because there's no one else for a start, and he's playing really well with this team, and he's putting up big, big numbers. So Mario Chalmers, the waiver wire line of the night. The young gun of the night, Larry Nance of the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Nance played just 23 minutes and had only 4 points. He had 5 rebounds, he had 2 assists, he had 6 steals, and he had a block. Nance's name has been coming up a lot lately when I do the podcast. He's a top 70 guy over the last 2 weeks. His minutes have been coming up, and you look at his numbers maybe on the surface, and they don't look, you know, thrilling. 8.9 points, that's not that good in the last 2 weeks, but 8.4 rebounds, 2 steals, half a block, 55% from the field, 82% from the free throw line. You could do a lot worse than owning Larry Nance in standard leagues at the moment. He is he's outplaying Julius Randle, and he's being preferred to Julius Randle. I think it's fair to, maybe not. Look, Randle played more minutes than him, but he's generally given a bigger role. I don't know what the best way of saying it is. I like what Nance is doing better from a fantasy perspective than what Julius Randle is. I don't think that he's necessarily got the better upside of the two, but I don't love Randle's fantasy game, but I do like what Nance is able to do. He seems to be able to do something in every game, whether it's 6 steals, whether it's big field goal percentage, whether it's big rebounds, whether it's a scoring night. He's surprising me. I'm not dropping great players or really valuable players to go and add him, but at the moment, if you're searching for that power forward option, he's got value in a 12-team league. And at the start of the season, if you would have said by January, Larry Nance would be on 12-team rosters, you would have been, what are you talking about? But now, if I saw him on a roster, and he's not on any of mine, I don't think, but that might change when I have a look at my teams after this show. If you saw him on a team in a 12-team league, you'd go, yep, fair enough, good pickup, Larry Nance. He's been good, he's been solid, and that's probably one of the biggest surprises of the season and one of the biggest finds for the Lakers. And I really shouldn't be shocked, because when I watched him at Summer League, he was really impressive. He impressed me more than Randle did at Summer League. The crowd loved him. He was super athletic. He was very raw, and he still is raw, but he was impressive. And it's translating to some pretty good numbers for him at the moment. The dud of the night, Danny Green. 21 minutes for Green, 5 points, 1 3, 2 rebounds, and nothing else. It's harder and harder to justify owning him in any league at the moment. I don't reckon in a 12-team league you need to hold on to him. Again, it always depends on who you're adding, but he's forgotten how to play basketball. He's forgotten how to shoot. This is this is the equivalent of Lance Stevenson from last season. Although Lance, I never liked Stevenson in Indiana anyway, but this is the equivalent of that. And we're 50% of the way through the season. I'm not banking on a quick turnaround anytime soon. You have guys who slump, like Mirotić had that slump, but he started off the season well. Had a slump, came back, terrible today. Yeah, Bob Cove started off the season on fire. Terrible slump, back on fire. Danny Green hasn't been on fire ever. He hasn't been up and down. It's not natural variance. It's not swings. And it's just been, he's been terrible for 40 games. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I reckon you can probably move on in 12-team leagues at this point and get someone else stream the spot, because it just doesn't have any sort of feel like it's going to turn around. Nothing. It's a weird one. Let's look at the perfect FanDuel lineup for Thursday, and it was a huge, huge scoring night. I want to know, send me through, you guys listening, if you played DFS, what your score was, if you're particularly proud of it, because I saw some big scores coming through for some people. Send me through your score and tell me how you placed, what sort of, if you cash, GPP, whatever, send me through your lineup and what your score was, because I reckon there would have been some big, big scores. I know friend of the podcast, Trent Copeland, who was on the pod earlier, end of last year, he posted up a score of 360 plus, and I'm sure there's many of you who would have got close to that number as well. So send me through your lineups for today. Kyle Lowry at 46.1. He was always a really nice option heading up against the Orlando Magic, and he did that. And Mario Chalmers, once we knew Mike Conley was out, he was a guy that that I tweeted out earlier today that he was the DFS value play of the day, and he came through. At shooting guard, obviously Jimmy Butler at 76, and Victor Oladipo was priced fantastically that you had to use him at 44.2. Back to Butler, it was hard to... not hard to use him. Like I said, like 8,900, not a bad price. You think he's going to get value, but there was two things going against him. The ankle and the fact that maybe he sat a little bit against the Sixers. Clearly none of that stuff happened and he went crazy. Small forward, Kawhi Leonard, 41.5. He'd been really struggling, but this was a great opportunity. And this is why I talked about that yesterday. I thought that he was going to put up a big game. And I also... maybe I didn't go hard enough, but I also said, you know, that this is a chance where we can use Bob Cove at his low salary. And I paid out 37.7. Don't necessarily think that it's going to be an ongoing thing with Bob Cove. I hope it is. And we'll talk about him a little bit later, but a big night from Covington here. Tristan Thompson had 36.3, which is a surprise to me, going up against the Spurs front court. And Jason Smith with 30. Good luck if you had Jason Smith in your lineup. No way you could have picked Jason Smith unless you ran out 1,000 lineups. Boogie Cousins at 57.9. We know how good he is. He is on a massive, massive roll at the moment. The total of that lineup, if you were miraculous enough to put Jason Smith in, would have been 415.3. Unbeatable, clearly. Now, before we get into the box score reviews, what I want to do is go through the numbers for the last 2 weeks. Have our two-weekly review. Go through the top 20 guys, the top rookies, the top sophomores. Pick out a couple of interesting guys in that top 50 and go through the guys who are less than 50% owned in my top 100. Now, what I do is it's based on the last 2 weeks of data for head-to-head leagues and not overall value necessarily, more for head-to-head. So taking, you know, disregarding players' weaknesses. So you won't see Andre Drummond down at the 50s. He'd be up high because, you know, if you're owning Drummond, you're punting free throws. And we take that into consideration when I look at my rankings. If we go through the top 20 for the last 2 weeks, we'll start at 20. James Harden at 20. Bit of a down week for him, or a bit down 2 weeks. Victor Oladipo at 19. A massive change from him given where he was just 2 weeks ago. Big ups from him. Al Horford at 18. At number 17, if anyone could guess who was number 17 in my rankings, I'll send you a basketball jersey. You've got no way of proving this, so we're not going to be able to do that. But number 17 is Salah Mejri. Yep. He played one game, 25 minutes, and went 17-9 with a block on 88% shooting. Obviously, if you could maintain those averages over 2 weeks and eight games, then you'd be fantastic. He did it in one game in a weird situation, but the numbers are there. At 16, John Wall. 15, Andre Drummond. 14, Dwight Howard. He has been very, very good lately. Probably under the radar good. Paul Millsap at 13, Russ Westbrook at 12, DeAndre Jordan at 11, Jim Butler at 10, Chris Paul comes in at 9, Draymond at 8, Paul George at 7, Kyle Lowry at 6, LeBron charging back to the top 5, he's at 5th, and then we've got the top 4, Kevin Durant at 4, Boogie Cousins at 3, Steph Curry at 2, and Dame Lillard at 1. And Lillard's at 25.8 points, 4.8 threes, 5.5 rebounds, 9 assists, 1.8 steals over the last 2 weeks in his five games. He is on a serious hot streak at the moment, Damian Lillard. Big, big numbers for him. Let's look now at the top rookies. Obviously, Mejri at number 17 is the top rookie, but please. Porzingis. Yep, thanks, Steve. Porzingis is at 39. Larry Nance comes in at 57. Jahlil Okafor comes in at 69. And Devin Booker comes in at 81. That rounds out the top 5 over the last 2 weeks. You'll notice there's no Karl Anthony Towns. He's ranked 94th over the last 2 weeks, the 7th ranked rookie in that time frame. Great buy low opportunity if someone thinks, oh, he's hitting a rookie wall. Go after him and get him. The top 5 sophomores, Nerlens Noel at 30, Rod Hood at 54, Nikola Mirotic at 55, Jordan Clarkson at 97, and Andrew Wiggins at 109. If you look at some other guys and some interesting places of players, J.R. Smith is 29th over the last 2 weeks. He needs to be owned. He's only owned in 76% of leagues. You need to own him. Shocking. I don't know how this is possible, but Zaza Pachulia is owned in 76% of leagues. Why is he owned in so few leagues? He has to be owned everywhere. He's 25th. Lou Williams is 26th. He's owned in 75% of leagues. So I could look at it and go, okay, Zaza Pachulia, maybe there are 24% of leagues that are inactive. But Pachulia would have been drafted in most leagues. So why haven't people added him? Lou Williams wasn't 75% owned at draft time. He would have been owned in way less leagues. So people have gone out and added him. Why is Pachulia not been added? Don't know. It doesn't make much sense. Amir Johnson's at 33rd. Anthony Davis is down to 34th over the last couple of weeks. And this is on a per game basis. It's probably weighted because he had that game in there where he played about 6 minutes. So that's, yeah, that's understandable. Kawhi down at 41. Would have been a decent buy low opportunity if it wasn't for today's game. Otto Porter inside the top 50 at 45. He's an interesting guy to have a look at there. But I think the return of Bradley Beal plus his own hip injury means it's going to be hard for him to maintain that sort of value in that spot. Let's just get into the under-owned guys. So these players are in the top 100 and are less than 50% owned. Salah Mejri, obviously, at 17. He's under 50% owned. Mario Chalmers, ranked 48th. That's understandable. He's only a short-term guy. Tony Allen at 56. I don't know how Tony Allen is doing this. I'm not buying into it. Yes, he's a great short-term ad, and he probably should be owned in more leagues, but it's not a long-term thing. Larry Nance at 57. I talked about him a little bit earlier. Cody Zeller at 64. How is he still under 50% owned? That needs to change. Wes Johnson at 66. He's had a real strong time of it lately and doesn't really wow you, but puts up some decent numbers. It's still probably just a streaming 14-team sort of league guy. Mirza Teletovic at 70 has been rock solid, getting you a lot of threes. I can add him. Depends on what you need, but he's got addable value. Ronnie Price is at 73. Well, he's out for the next 3 weeks, and he's no good anyway, so I wouldn't have been recommending a pickup of Ronnie Price. Steve Adams at 74. He fits a very specific team build, so that if your team fits that, then go for it. PJ Tucker at 77. He should be owned. Yan Mahimi at 79. He should be owned. Devin Booker at 81, he should be owned. So there's a lot of value on some waiver wires in leagues. Jose Calderon at 85, he should be owned. I talk about him a lot as well. TJ McConnell at 87 and Garrett Temple at 88. I'm not buying into that, and I'm not going and making sure I add those guys, much like I'm not doing it for David West, who's ranked 91st. That's a product of a couple of games where he started and put up big games, but that's not going to be a consistent thing for him. Last out of the top 100 guys, Matt Barnes at 96. He's another guy, even though he was on the bench today, I think that he should be owned in basically, yeah, not maybe most 12-team leagues is the best way of putting that, not necessarily all 12-team leagues. All right, that is my two-week review. Now it's time to get into these box scores. We'll bring them up on the screen so we can go through them. There we go. But before I get into these box scores, actually, take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. All right, the first game, the Toronto Raptors, the Orlando Magic. This was the game in London. The Raptors got the victory. It went to overtime, so the people in London would have been pretty happy with extra basketball. Corey Joseph played well. 36 minutes for him, 19-3-4 with two steals. He's really getting, you know, an advantage with Damari Carroll out. He's getting extra run. Terrence Ross is not cementing a role. James Johnson's not cementing a role. Joseph's getting more run. So you can look at him in 12-team leagues now because Carroll's going to be a long-term thing. He's going to be up and down. He's going to be variable in his performance. But 19-3-4 with two steals is definitely not complainable. 9 of 11 from the field is not going to happen all that often. So you probably more look at 12 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. But that's fine. You can look to add him. Not a must-add guy. Luis Scola did something that he's not going to do very often, and that's have 3 steals and 2 blocks. Also had 3 threes and 11 points. Very hard to own him, and especially with Patrick Patterson getting 36 minutes. Now, Patrick Patterson had 11 and 7 with 3 threes, and he had a steal and 2 blocks as well. So both of these guys, who have been bad this season, had big games. I don't think that Scola and Patterson are must-own guys for 12-team leagues. The the other big man in the rotation for the Raptors, Jonas Valanciunas, went 13-9. He had a steal and three blocks. His blocks are way up at the moment, a real bonus if you drafted him. Kyle Lowry went 24-8-7. He had a couple of threes with a steal and a block as well. And Bismack Biyombo, 11-6 off the bench as the backup center with a block. Very hard to own him now in standard leagues. DeMar DeRozan didn't have the best night. He went 4-19, had 13 points, did have 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. So some pretty good, not out of position, well, the 11 rebounds is out of position, but pretty good ancillary stats for DeRozan, which is something that's definitely plagued him, the lack of them. James Johnson, only 17 minutes in the start, 2 points and 2 steals, and Terrence Ross had 2 points in his 17 minutes, not standard league guys. Victor Oladipo had a season-high 27 points for the Magic, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 5 threes. He has been fantastic since re-entering the starting lineup. Let's hope that if we own him, that he sticks there. Evan Fournier, 21-3-3 with a couple of threes, and Toby Harris had a double-double of 16-11 with 2 threes. He's been very up and down, Harris, but he's had some pretty decent games. Speaking of guys who don't block shots, blocking shots, Nick Vucevic went 17-11 with 3 blocks. His block numbers have improved this year too. And the guy we talked about in the DFS section, Jason Smith, played 37 minutes. For what reason? I have no idea. 16-5-4 with a block. Now, I don't mind Jason Smith as a player. I think he has fantasy potential when he plays. But why he's playing 37 minutes and Aaron Gordon played 7 is confusing. I would prefer Channing Frye getting 30 minutes than Jason Smith getting 30 minutes. It's Scott Skiles. Confusing stuff's going to happen. They lost, which, again, when something confusing happens, I like it when the team loses because your coach can't point and say, well, look what I did at 1, because it didn't. Maybe it was because Gordon was battling an ankle injury that he played so few minutes, but a really disappointing night for Aaron Gordon to just get 1 rebound for the night, and that's it in 7 minutes. Lord Alfred Payton returned. He played off the bench and played 20 minutes. 4 points, 1 rebound, and 4 assists. I'm not dropping him. I want to see how this plays out over the next week or so, because you would hope that he could find himself a 27-28-minute role off the bench. Hopefully it's not at the expense of Victor Oladipo. But let's just wait and see. It's not a good sign that he's playing off the bench. The Chicago Bulls and the Philadelphia 76ers. Joakim Noah got the start with Pau Gasol out. He played 38 minutes, Noah. 6 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. I don't love him as a standard league pickup. This is a very Joakim Noah line. He's such a negative on offense for this team, though, that it's going to be hard for them to continue to play him big minutes, I would have thought. Taj Gibson went 11-11 in 35 minutes, and Gibson and Noah were forced to play big minutes because Mirotić was terrible in this game. Just a very, very bad night from him. 2 of 13 from the field, 5 turnovers, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block, and 1 3. He still played 24 minutes, so I'm not overly panicked with Mirotić, but it was not a good night. Another example of why we don't want to own Bobby Portis, 9 minutes for him, nothing, no stats at all. Overtime game against the Sixers, no Pau Gasol, 9 minutes. He's not worth owning in 12-team leagues. He's not worth owning in 14-team leagues. It's going to take 2 injuries or 2 trades or an injury and a trade for him to have even close to standard league value. It's just not happening for him. There was that time when Hoiberg for about 2-3 games was preferring him over Mirotić, which pissed me off no end, but that's not happening anymore. He's a rookie and he's got a lot to learn and he's going to be good, but it's not happening now. Doug McDermott played 33 minutes. And Doug McDermott playing 33 minutes and Tony Snell playing 11 is a split I can get behind. 17-3 for McDermott with a 3 and a steal, but he just doesn't do enough in fantasy to be anything more than a streaming option. With Derrick Rose out, Kirk Heinrich played 32 minutes. He went 5-4, and Aaron Brooks played just 7 minutes, which is an odd sort of allocation of the minutes when generally Brooks has been the guy who's got the extra run when Rose has been out. On the Sixers, Bob Cove. Robert Covington played 30 minutes off the bench and looked back to the Bob Cove we saw early this year. 25-6, 6 triples, 1 assist, 2 steals. If he's floating on your waiver wire, this is what you want to see. Go and add him and let's see what happens. Maybe it's a Danny Green situation where one good game turns into a string of 7 shit games. Let's hope it's not, because he has shown big form this year already and let's hope that he's back to being that mid-round sort of player. Ish Smith started off slowly but finished off well, 24, 4 and 8, 2 threes and 2 steals on 10 of 25 shooting. He's a clear must-own guy. And TJ McConnell, I touched on him a little bit early. He just sneaked inside the top 100. Another decent night, 10, 3 and 3 with 3 steals. 14-team league, I would definitely be all over him. And you can stream him for certain numbers or add him in a certain build, but it's hard to maintain that value in a 17, 18-minute role. Nerlens Noel moved to the bench. He was feeling sick, apparently, but he played 24 minutes, 8 and 6 with a steal and 3 blocks, so the defensive numbers are still coming. Jahlil Okafor, not able to take advantage of the Bulls' front court being terrible for in terms of preventing fantasy points. 12 and 4 for Okafor with a steal and a block. And Nick Stauskas played 39 minutes before leaving with a shoulder injury. He went 12, 2 and 5 with 2 steals and 3 threes, which is probably his best game in quite a while. Jakar Sampson, 25 minutes for him as a starter. I don't know why he starts. Covington just needs to get this rollback. I don't care anymore. He just has to have this rollback. Sampson's crap. He's useless. Hollis Thompson is not much better. Covington had some bad stretches, but he needs this job back. He should be owned in fantasy leagues. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs, just another victory ho-hum. Tristan Thompson, 18 and 14 with a steal. So that Timofey Mozgov cutting into minutes sort of situation didn't eventuate. 15 minutes for Mozgov here. 0 points and 2 rebounds. It's like he takes one step forward and 10 steps backwards. Thompson still remains that, yep, I want rebounds. Let's add him. LeBron went 22, 7 and 5 with a nice line. Well, that was a nice line. And J.R. Smith had 17 points with another 3 triples. He didn't do a lot else. He did block a shot, not much else. But he is usually good for some steals and some assists. So, as I touched on earlier, he's a must-own player. Kyrie was okay. Not great. 6 of 17 for 16, 2 and 4 with 2 threes and a steal. And Kevin Love had just 10 points with 12 boards. Not Love's greatest night. He has definitely been impacted by the return of Irving in his stats. And he's starting to look a little bit more like last season's Kevin Love, which I didn't think he'd quite get back to that level, but that's sort of where we are at the moment. Iman Shumpert had 7 points in 19 minutes. He had 2 steals too, and Matthew Dellavedova played 20 minutes and went 5, 2, and 3, but they're very, very deep league targets only. So Kawhi, after a string of quiet games, went 20 and 10. He had 2 threes, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Back in business, and Tony Parker, 24 and 4 with 3 steals and a block as well, and he has been extraordinarily strong lately. Tim Duncan, only 9 points, but he had 6 boards, a steal, and 2 blocks. Really helps you in the defensive numbers and in the rebounding. And Manu had 10 points with a steal and a block as well in 26 minutes. Not a good night from LaMarcus Aldridge, 6 and 8 in 29 minutes, and he'd been on a relatively hot streak. Didn't eventuate for him here, and David West rejoined the rotation after a game out. He went 13 and 5 in his 18 minutes, but he is still just a deep league target only. The Detroit Pistons and the Memphis Grizzlies. It seems every game Stan Van Gundy's just benching one of his stars towards the end. Last game was Andre Drummond. This game was Reggie Jackson. He played just 24 minutes, Jackson, 12 points and 6 assists. And was 5 of 7 from the field, so his numbers all look good, but Van Gundy benched him. And he went with Brandon Jennings down the stretch, and Jennings played 24 minutes and went 10 points, 3 assists, and 2 threes. I'm not worried. This doesn't cause me any panic whatsoever. Jennings is still just a 14-team league guy. Stanley Johnson had probably his best game, 19 points in 25 minutes, hit 5 triples, and had 2 steals, not stashing him, not doing anything like that. While Ersan Ilyasova went 17-9 with 3 threes and a steal. I think that Ersan has 12-team league value. I would rather have Ilyasova than have Stanley Johnson at this point. Andre Drummond, 11-11 with a couple of blocks. He has quietened off lately. He's still, as I mentioned earlier, a top 20 player, so nothing to be too overly upset about. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope just couldn't get into the game. 9 points in 31 minutes. 1-3, but only took 6 shots. Normally he's out there chucking up 25 shots and missing 20 of them, but only the 6 shot attempts for him just wasn't active and wasn't in the game. For the Grizzlies, Zach Randolph started 13-3-3 in 30 minutes. He's got value for now, but I don't know how long it lasts. Courtney Lee, 8-2-2 in his 29 minutes. He's not a 12-team league option. And Matt Barnes, he played off the bench, 28 minutes for him, 18 points, all from 3, so 6 triples, 3 rebounds and 2 steals. You know that I think that he should be owned in most leagues. Marc Gasol, this is such a Marc Gasol line, 19, 5 and 4 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He's playing pretty well at the moment. And Jeff Green, after a terrible performance in the Grizzlies last game, looked a bit better, 16-4 in 27 minutes. Hopefully Mike Conley's back soon if you own Mike Conley. The Sacramento Kings and the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gay, 24-9, including a game winner with 3 steals and a 3. And Boogie went 36-17, 2 triples, a steal, and a block. And he is just killing it with the 3-pointers, Boogie. You probably don't love that he went 14 of 21 from the free throw line. That's not good. But 36-17 is a pretty nice night. Rajon Rondo, 6-6 with 13 assists and 2 steals. Only 2 of 9 shooting. So, yeah, something there for Rajon Rondo fans. And Darren Collison was reduced to just 24 minutes. I'm still holding him in 12-team leagues, though. Marco Bellinelli, with the return of Omri Caspi, his value has dropped only 21 minutes here and even less in the game before. 11 points for Bellinelli. He can be left alone, while Caspi played just 26 minutes and went 10-3. His hold on must-own status for standard leagues is slipping pretty quickly. Because Willie Cauley-Stein started, I don't agree with it. 24 minutes for Cauley-Stein, 9-8 with a steal and a block. I'm not adding Willie, but he's having an impact on what Caspi's able to do. The Utah Jazz, no Derek Favors again. Rudy Gobert, 2 points, 12 boards, 2 assists, and 2 blocks, and hurt his knee a little bit at the end as well. We don't know the full situation of that yet. We're going to keep in. Hopefully there's nothing too severe happening there. Trey Lyles, though, played 39 minutes. I told you his minutes have been trending up. 19 points, 1-3, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals, and he looks a really good player. He struggled early on significantly, but he's playing some really good basketball at the moment. Harl Neto had 13 points with 4 assists and a steal. Oh, back to Lyles. I don't really think we want to run and grab him in 12-team leagues. But deeper formats, at least while Derek Favors is out, you might get a couple more games out of him, maybe. Gordon Hayward, 21-8 with a steal and a block. Trey Burke had 17 points and a steal and nothing else. And Rod Hood went 15-3 with a couple of threes. So some okay lines there, but nothing overly exciting, I wouldn't have thought. The last game of the night, the Lakers and the Warriors. Jordan Clarkson, 22-4 in his 36 minutes. Lou Williams went 21-4-3 in his 31 minutes. And Kobe Bryant played just 27 minutes with that sore Achilles. Amazing that he played to me. He wasn't great, though. 4 of 15, 8-6 with 2 steals and a block. Julius Randle, 30 minutes off the bench, 14-9 with a block, and D'Angelo Russell went 14-2-3 with 2 steals and 2 threes, and the same holds for them. I am happy to own Russell in 12-team leagues. I'm not as happy to own Julius Randle, but I can understand some rationale behind doing it. Roy Hibbert is just terrible, 4-8 in 21 minutes, and he is not a standard league guy. Steph Curry hit 8 triples, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal for Steph. Draymond returned. He was originally going to rest this game, but he came back and played 7-9-5 with 3 steals. Only played 27 minutes, though. And Harrison Barnes back up near 30 again. 12-6, 2 steals and a block. I think he should be owned in 12-team leagues, Harrison Barnes. Andrew Bogut, 6-8 in 21 minutes. Festus Ezeli played 20 minutes and went 8-8. They're just not reliable enough for 12-team leagues. Klay Thompson struggled, 4 of 14 for 12 points with 2 threes, 3 rebounds, and a block. And there's not much else to really take home from the Warriors' performance. They got it done. There were some nice numbers for some players. Oh, Sean Livingston, actually, the other one, 17-4 in 19 minutes for Livingston. But there's no real actionable numbers for there from a fantasy point of view. All right, we are done with the review of Thursday's action. I'm going to take a quick break. And then we're going to have a look at the games for Friday.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come now, me and the sky. We'll be right back.
guys. We are back. And we're going to look at Friday's games now. There are 9 games on in the NBA for Friday. There's a fair bit of DFS value, I reckon, floating around in these 9 games. So let's get stuck into it and see what we can gather, and hopefully we can win us all some money. The first game, the Washington Wizards and the Indiana Pacers. Actually, one note on the Indiana Pacers. I ordered a Hickory High jersey today from the Pacers, a Paul George Hickory High jersey. I can't wait for it to come. And when it comes, you'll be seeing it on the pod. I'm very excited for that to arrive. Still looking for a Cameron Payne jersey. I really want a, I want a Payne jersey. Can't find one. Or I can find one. I can't find one cheap enough for my liking. I'm being a tight ass. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough jersey talk. Washington and Indiana. No spread out for this one just yet. I guess because we don't know the status of Otto Porter, not really sure how much he moves the line, but with Marcin Gortat already ruled out and Chris Humphries already ruled out, the Wizards are struggling. There's still no Allen Anderson for them. Rod Stuckey is out for the next 2 weeks for the Pacers as well, so that changes their bench rotation a little bit. The last 2 games without Gortat, Drew Gooden has played 27 minutes. He's priced at 3,700, and he hasn't been great. He put up 12.5 points, but in the last game, but the game before, he put up 30.9. Now, the Pacers do limit big men pretty well, but I reckon putting Gooden in as a punt player in a tournament is great. Even in a cash game at 3,700, he could bluff his way to 20 points most nights. And he can go big as well. I reckon he's a pretty solid option. CJ Miles for the Pacers at 4,500. He's had a couple of strong games in a row. He's got a 24-point average across his last 3. 4,500 is not a big salary. I'm not overly confident in using him, but I think that if you need that sort of lowish salary to fit at small forward, he works. Especially if Otto Porter is out as well. There'll be a bit of a bump for Miles, in my opinion, there. Same goes for Paul George. Porter's not a great defender, but he's a solid defender. George is priced at 8,800. He's almost a 40-point guy across the last 3, so that's relatively solid. We know he can go 50-55-point upside. The Wizards do shut down small forwards and power forwards to a degree, but again, we know Gortat's out, and if Porter's out as well, that should give George an ability to have a bit of a bump. I don't think he's a great small forward option at that high price range. I think he's good, but there's a better one on the board, as we'll get to later. Bradley Beal we're not using. Obviously, he's on a minutes restriction. Garrett Temple's at 4,600. I struggle to see how Temple's going to play 32 minutes in this one. I know he did in the last game, but I can't see him playing 32 with Beal playing 24, with Gary Neal not being sick. I can't see Temple sticking at 32. Yeah, 25, I think I've got him at the moment. And Sessions is going to get his 20 to 22 minutes and be a consistent play, but I just can't see Temple being that guy. Maybe you throw him in a tournament, but his price is up so much. It's just under 5,000. You pay less to get CJ Miles and Garrett Temple at this point. And that's not right to me. Ramon Sessions continues to be that nice, solid 20-point guy. Had a bit of a stretch where he dipped, but he's back to giving you 22, 23 fantasy points most nights. He's at 4,400, so he has to give you that to give you 5x value. So he's not a great play by any stretch, but there's something about him. With Stuckey out, Chase Buttinger should get some extra run. He's a 3,500 minimum salary guy. He comes into the pool of players you look at as a punt option, I think. And Johnny Wall at 9,800. 9,800 is almost 10,000. So do you think he can go for 50 against the Pacers? I don't. So I will leave him alone. 5,300 for Yan Mahinmi. I do like that, though. He had 29 in his last game. He's got a 29 average across his last 5. And at 5,300, that's perfectly fine with me. So I think that he is a solid guy. Monte Ellis, no thanks. Lavoy Allen, no. Even if he starts, no, he's just not doing anything. Nene is interesting. 4,200 for Nene. He put up 26 in the last game. Him or Drew Gooden is going to benefit here. So in a tournament, you rotate them. I feel less confident with Nene because of his injuries, because the chance that he gets limited minutes. He's obviously the better player than Gooden, but you're paying $500 more for Nene as well. So there's a bit of a trade-off there. If Porter's out, Kelly Oubre, who's a minimum salary guy, then vaults right up to the top of the list for guys that you want to look at as that cheap option as a small forward. The next game is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russ Westbrook, doesn't look like he's going to be suspended for the ejection, but obviously we just need to keep an eye on that. And Kevin Garnett rested the last game. He will likely be back. Westbrook at 10,500. The matchup suits. I imagine he's going to be pissed after missing the last game. But 10,500, can he go for 55? I reckon he can go pretty close. I reckon he's not a bad investment at 10,500, especially with some other cheap options on the board, like a guy like Gooden that we just talked about, or Kelly Oubre, if Porter happens to miss. You throw a minimum salary guy in, you can afford to go big with Russell Westbrook, and I think he's a pretty decent guy to have a look at. Zach LaVine at 3,900. He was great 2 games ago. He was terrible in the last game. It is strictly a, hey, let's see what happens in a tournament, and that is it for LaVine. Kevin Durant at 10,000, just the flat 10,000. I don't feel he's got, you know, that sort of 50-point upside in him all that consistently. He's more a 45 guy, which you say you want 5x value, which you do, but some of the times in a higher salary guy, if you get 4.5x and get 6 or 6.5x out of your cheaper guys, it equals out. You don't have to get 5 from everyone. So I think Durant, who can give you 45, is a pretty solid guy at 10,000. Ennis Kanter at 4,500. You can't rely upon him in cash, especially against the Timberwolves, who do shut down big men pretty well. And Serge Ibaka is in a decent run of form. 6,100 for him. He's averaging 25. Put up 34 in the last game, but I don't want to deal with him. I don't want to add him and use him in this format. 7,300 for Rick Rubio. Love that he's going up against Russell Westbrook, but that price just feels too high. He's going to need to exceed 35 points, and his high score in his last 5 is only 36. He's had another 35 in there, so he can get to that 35, but I'm just not all that confident with using him. And 6,600 for Andrew Wiggins. Wigo, he's been good lately, definitely, averaging over 30 in his last 5. And at 6,600, that salary is not too bad. I can understand using him, but the matchup on Kevin Durant makes me be a little bit worried. Karl Anthony Towns at 7,400. He was good in the last game, but that's too expensive for me against a Thunder team who is really good defensively down low. Not using Gorgui Dieng. Kevin Martin had a big game, but I don't trust that either. And definitely not using my boy Nikola Pekovic or my other boy, Tayshaun Prince. I say my other boy, but Tayshaun Prince is probably older than me. The Phoenix Suns and the Boston Celtics. No spread for this one yet. Brandon Knight is he's going to play. He's dealing with an illness, so he'll be right to go. There is no Alex Len. There is no Ronnie Price for the Suns. Avery Bradley. He hasn't been good since returning, but his minutes have been huge. He's priced at only 4,900, and he goes against the Suns' backcourt. At 4,900, we know that Avery Bradley can go and drop 30, 35 you know, real-life points and get hot from three. He could be a 40-point fantasy guy. His upside is tremendous. I think that this is a great matchup for him. I think his ownership will be pretty low given how well he's played lately or not well. Definitely love throwing him into a tournament. TJ Warren is tournaments only. 4,600 minutes will be 30, and then there'll be 19, and his production will be huge and it'll be tiny. Who knows what he's going to do? Is this going to be a big minute game or a low minute game? We have no idea. Tournaments only. Same with John Lua at 43. He projects well if he's going to get minutes, but maybe Tlevich gets him. Maybe Markieff Morris plays 29. Who knows at this point? I'm avoiding Lua. Isaiah Thomas at 8,600. This looks good for him. He is going up against the Phoenix team, who is terrible, and terrible in the backcourt for fantasy points allowed. And he's also going up against his former team. Now, I don't put huge amounts of stock into revenge game all the time, but when there's legit ill will, like there was when Goran Dragic went to Phoenix, that's when I think, okay, he's going to show him. And there's legit ill will between Thomas and Phoenix. He didn't like... They signed him and said, we love you, we want to make you a star, our point guard, and then played him off the bench and played him with two other point guards, didn't allow him to have the ball in his hands, and then traded him after 6 months. He didn't like it. He's pissed at the way it was handled. This is a revenge game where I can go at it and go, yeah, there's a reason for this. It's not like everyone on this guy is playing his former team. Like, I don't imagine that Brandon Knight against Milwaukee falls into revenge game category. They traded him, but there's no real ill will. Isaiah Thomas, there is. Mirza Teletovic has been really consistent. He's a 26-point guy, 4,300. I like using him here. Boston is not good against big men, and if he gets hot, we know he can go 35, 40 fantasy points. He's a good option. Brandon Knight at 6,800. You would look at it and go, yeah, that salary is good. We know his production's good, but not against Boston. No thanks. Jay Crowder has been really consistent at 27 or 28 average over his last five, but at 6,400, he needs to be a little bit better than that, even with how well he's played. 5,200 for Jared Sullinger, and not spending up there. But PJ Tucker is a guy I'm looking at for Phoenix. He's at 4,500. He's given you 25 points in the last three games on average, and at 4,500, that's plenty for me. And Devin Booker at 42 is also another guy that I'd be looking at. He's at a 27-point average across his last three, 27 across his last five as well. He's dropped a 34-point game in there. At 4,200, you can't ask for much more than that, even though it is against Boston and that he is going to feel the squeeze of Avery Bradley. I still think that at 4,200, he can exceed value. Amir Johnson's been fantastic. 5,500 for him. He dropped 47 in the last game. He's now averaging 32 across his last five. The salary is probably a bit higher than what I would have liked or what I would have expected it to be. He's an okay play, but there's always a lot of risk associated with big men in Brad Stevens's rotations. Markieff Morris, speaking of bad rotations, Jeff Hornacek, we don't know what Morris is going to get. 27 in the last game at 4,600, tournament only for him. And Kelly Olynyk on back to the bench and playing less than 20 minutes for the last three games. He can be left alone, I reckon, as much as I love Kelly Olynyk. The Portland Trailblazers and the Brooklyn Nets. The Blazers are favored by 4. The total is 202. Mo Harkless is dealing with some knee tendonitis. He looks like he's going to play. Willie Reed is out for the Nets for personal issues. And that's it, injury-wise. What about play-wise? Brook Lopez at 8,600. The Portland front court hopefully gives him a bump. He's been pretty good. Nothing too spectacular for him lately. But still, 36 points, it is what it is. A low score of 27 in his last five. It means he's got a reasonable floor. Shane Larkin, his teammate, at 4,400. Not a good matchup. The Blazers have been restricting opposition point guard somehow. I don't know how they're doing it, but they have lately. Larkin is in a timeshare with Donald Sloan. They would strictly be tournaments only. 3,700 for Sloan, 4,400 for Larkin. I probably avoid both, but Larkin did have a decent game in the last one, putting up 24 fantasy points, but that feels close to his ceiling, so I don't really know that we want to go and use him. Wayne Ellington at 3,500, his minimum salary, he started the last couple of games. He's also shit, but he can get hot, so there's tournament upside in using him. Dame Lillard, 9,200. As I touched on earlier, been the number one fantasy player the last 2 weeks. 53-point average across his last three. That's great. The Nets are terrible. He is a very, very nice, expensive option at point guard. And again, if you can fit some of these other cheap guys around him, it's great to have him in there. I imagine that, you know, him and Westbrook, as much as it's going to cost, you could get yourself 100 fantasy points from those two guys. Yes, you've spent, you know, $20,000. But you can fit some other low-price guys around. Joe Johnson at 5,200. He's been exceeding value lately. 31 in the last game. He's up for consideration. The bigs in Portland, I don't want anything to do with them because I just don't know how it's going to play out. Ed Davis, Myers Leonard, Mason Plumlee, they're all up and down. You could throw them all into a tournament and see how it flows and see how it plays out, but there's no reliability for them in cash games. And 8,200 for CJ McCollum is too expensive with the way he's playing. Now, he's still playing all right. He's still playing plenty of minutes, and this is a great matchup for him, but 8,000 is a lot for a guy who hasn't been getting anywhere close to providing that sort of value, averaging only or under 30 points in his last five. Al-Farouq Aminu stepped it up a bit as well. He's at 5,300, and he's got a 26-point average across his last three, so he's not a terrible option. And Alan Crabb at 46, it's a good matchup for him. He's been productive, but I reckon I'll leave him for someone else to deal with. The Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Hawks are favored by 3.5. The total is 208.5 points here. Thabo Sefolosha will be back from his wrist problem that caused him to miss the last game. OJ Mayo is questionable with his hamstring, and Jared Bayless is doubtful with his ankle problem. OJ Mayo at 3,900. If we know he's going to play and have no restrictions, I think it's a great tournament play. But coming off a hamstring, I don't really want to risk too much there. Kyle Korver is now at 3,800. It's because he's been terrible, but in a tournament, 30 minutes, you know he can go off and get hot. Yes, but definitely not a cash game play. Michael Carter-Williams has had a couple of stinkers lately. 6,700 for him. This is a nice matchup for him. I'm okay with getting him back in. And Chris Middleton is just 6,900, and his form has definitely been more valuable than that lately, putting up a 38 in the last game, and his minutes have been out of control. Guys like Paul Millsap at 8,400, I really like. The Bucks yield a lot of fantasy points to big men. He had a bad game in the last game, as did Al Horford, but both of them have got 40-point upside here. Now, Horford's down at 7,800. I love him in this one. I think there's a lot of value to be had going up against the Bucks front court. Giannis Antetokounmpo is now at 7,400, but I think that he's not a bad option. He's had almost 40-point average across his last three, had a 50-point game in there as well, dropped 41 in the last one. He's in a pretty decent streak of form. The Hawks are not going to be able to shut him down. They don't have anyone who's really going to be able to shut him down, so Giannis is a player that I like using. Kent Bazemore at 5,700, that feels too expensive for me. 7,800 for Greg Monroe, definitely playing a lot better. Almost a 40-point average across his last three. I can understand using him, but I reckon there are better options. There's a lot of better options than Jeff Teague as well. Throw in the fact that he's going up against Michael Carter-Williams. He is playing very few minutes, and he's priced at 5,800. No thanks. Dennis Schroeder's been playing well. He's at 4,900, but which way does the minute split go? Not enough confidence in that for me in a cash game. Jabari Parker at 51 has been exceeding value lately. He's a guy that I would look to here. Interesting to see how he plays on Millsap, whether he can guard him, because his defense is terrible, but he's offensively quite good. The Hawks do allow power forwards to go pretty big as well. I think that Parker's worth looking at only 5,100. I would have preferred it under 5,000, but he's not a bad play, and I think he'll be quite an under-owned option as well. The Charlotte Hornets and the New Orleans Pelicans, there is no spread out for this one. Jeremy Lamb is questionable for the Hornets. He's had a toe issue. And Tyreke Evans is questionable for the Pelicans. He had his knee drained. He reckons he's going to be right to play, but who knows at this point. The matchup looks great for Evans if he plays, but to put faith in that is it's a lot risky, in fact. He's only at 7,400, and he can go for 40 very, very comfortably. So just monitor that situation and see the sort of speak that comes out from coaches and Evans about him playing and restrictions and all that sort of stuff. Nick Batum at 7,100 struggled a little bit in the last couple, but I love his ability to go big in this one. And another Charlotte Hornets guy, Cody Zeller, 5,200 for him. He put almost 40 up on the board in the last game. The Pelicans front court is terrible at restricting fantasy points. There's another 30-point game coming here for Cody Zeller. I'm pretty confident. Frank Kaminsky at 4,100. The minutes have been there for him. A 24-minute average across his last three. Only 20 fantasy points. Not all that keen in using him. Eric Gordon went massive in the last game, dropped 46 points, and had been pretty poor before that. But this is not an overly difficult matchup against the Hornets. He's priced at 5,300. I think he's a decent bet at shooting guard. And Anthony Davis at 10,400. He put up 44 in his first game back from that back problem. He's going to get close to 40 minutes. He should be close to 50 fantasy points. I think he's a decent investment. And 6,200 for Jrue Holiday. He gets a bit of a bump if Tyreke is out. He's had a 34 average across the last three, 32 across the last five. He's been relatively consistent as well, with his lowest score across his last five games being 25. And at 6,200, that is a significantly good floor, a really, really good floor for him. So I think he's a good cash game play. Kemba Walker at 8,300, that just feels too high, that salary. Only averaging 31 across the last five. It doesn't feel like something I want to be involved in. 5,400 for Jeremy Lin. That's probably a bit high for me as well. He's a much better option to me under 5,000. Now, if Tyreke is out, Norris Cole will probably join the starting lineup. It'll make me shudder, but he probably will. And at 4,200, throw him into a tournament. He has no cash game relevance, though, because his game is literally terrible. And Omer Asik, 3,800, he's averaging 22.8 points his last three games. I don't know how he's doing it. He's been getting a lot more rebounds and a lot more minutes, more than he frankly deserves. But how many people are going to own Omer Asik? Not many. In a tournament, 3,800, if he gives you 25 points, which maybe is a bit of a stretch, his highest score in his last five has been 23.6. But if he gives you 23.6, that's enough value to withstand a 4.5x from another player. Worth having a look at. Even in a cash game, not a bad guy to look at. Although it's very hard to put much trust in Omer Asik, unfortunately. The Dallas Mavericks and the Chicago Bulls, there is no spread for this one. We don't know the status of quite a few players in this game. Derrick Rose, who missed today's game against the Sixers with his knee, and Pau Gasol with his shoulder and his Achilles. Obviously, they change a lot of the dynamics for the Bulls if they happen to play. For the Mavericks, Zaza Pachulia missed the last game with an Achilles. He looks like he'll be back. Devin Harris has got a foot problem. He should be back as well from everything we're hearing. Don't know if I love a huge amount of value in this game, to be honest. Jimmy Butler's at 8,900, and he's been just torching teams. He's probably the best option, even though you have to spend up quite big. But at the way he's playing, you almost have to be guaranteed 50 points for him. But it's a back-to-back. That might limit him. He played almost 50 minutes against the Sixers. There's hesitancy with me in recommending him. Zaza Pachulia, Mr. 33-point fantasy man. The price at 6,800, though, is annoying. But it's against the Bulls, so I'm happy with using him, assuming everything's okay with his Achilles. Now, if Gasol is out at 86, I don't want to use him, but it also limits Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson. And Nikola Mirotic had a stinker today. He's at 5,600. This is not a good matchup for him as well. Dallas against small forwards is a pretty tough go of it, so I'll leave him alone. I'm going to leave Wes Matthews out of it too. Darren Williams at 6,100. Yeah, I'd consider him. Against the Bulls' point guard situation, he's definitely worth looking at 6,100. Can he drop 30? I think pretty comfortably against Aaron Brooks, Kirk Heinrich, Derrick Rose, any of those sort of guys that are out there. 5,700 for Chandler Parsons. 37 points in his last game. He's very up and down. To me, he's just a guy that we can rely upon. He's a guy that we can't rely upon, and we throw him into a tournament, and hopefully it works out in that sense. Not much else, I think, to really look at with these guys. The Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat is the next game. The Heat are favored by 2. The total is 193.5 points. Injury-wise, yeah, not a huge amount to talk about. Hassan Whiteside, still dealing with that knee. He'll be right to go. On the Nuggets side of things, Yusuf Nurkic is out. Goran Dragic is also out for the Heat as well. So there is some value here. Beno Udrih at 3,500. He played 28 minutes in the last game. He only scored 10.5 fantasy points. But he's going to be a starter, and he's going to play 28 minutes. I'm happy with that at 3,500. I think that's worth the risk. Tyler Johnson's the other one. He played 29 in the last game. He's at 4,200. He put up 21 fantasy points. And they're going up against Denver. There's value in both of these guys here. Same goes with Gerald Green at 4,200. You know he's going to get 30-plus minutes here. He's got a 24-point average. He's a fairly consistent, I think, even cash gameplay. Nikola Jokic at 46 with no Yusuf Nurkic. Even in the last game, he put up 22 points in 16 minutes, Jokic. So give him 25 minutes. Could we get 25 points, 26 points? I think that's within the realm of possibility. So Jokic is someone that I would look at. I like Hassan Whiteside as well here. 7,200 for him. You would think that he could go for 35-plus against the Nuggets. I think there's a big possibility of that. Dwayne Wade at 7,200 just feels a bit expensive for me. Luol Deng at 44, really, really good matchup for Lou. I'm okay with using him. I think that he's worth a look. But there is a slight amount of risk there. 8,000 for Chris Bosh. Again, really great matchup for Bosh. 40 points is definitely within reach for him. He's been fairly consistent as well. 35 or 36 point average across his last three. Dropped 35 in the last game. He's someone I'll look at. Danilo Gallinari is priced $700 less than Chris Bosh. He's averaging more points than him across his last five games. I'm definitely using Gallinari over Bosh. The Heat do restrict some small forwards a bit, but he has just been on a massive tear. Will Barton at 6,700? Nah, just not with the way he's playing and not against the Heat. Ken Fareed, forget about it. Jameer Nelson is the starter at 5,200, but I don't want to use him, not against the Heat. We'll be leaving Emmanuel Mudiay and Justice Winslow alone as well. The last game of the night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Houston Rockets. The Cavs are favored by 2. The total is 205 points. Mo Williams might be out. Who cares? He's not playing anyway. And Patrick Beverley missed the last game with a personal issue, so we need to check on his status. Tristan Thompson at 4,500. Rockets bump. He put up 36 today. I reckon he is a very nice, cheap power forward option. Kevin Love at 74, that just feels too expensive for me, given the way he's been playing. Yes, it's against the Rockets, but I'm not loving his spot here. And J.R. Smith at 4,900, yeah, it more of a tournament option for me. LeBron at 10,300, I reckon he is a great play. I reckon he's got 50 points definitely within his sights. James Harden at 9,800, probably not against the Cavs. That's it's a little bit expensive, even though we know how great he is. He needs to go for 50, and against the Cavs, that's not an easy thing to do. Leave Kyrie alone, leave Trevor Ariza alone. Terrence Jones at 4,800 has to be considered, though. Two big games in a row from Jones. It's not a good matchup for him, but that salary is probably cheap enough for me to avoid that or to disregard that. Dwight Howard at 8,200, he's been really good, but his salary is just way too high. I'm not spending 8,200 on Dwight Howard. Also, I'm not using Ty Lawson. If Beverly is out, I might consider Lawson. He's at 3,700. Maybe he plays 25 minutes and has a decent game. But if Beverly's playing, no thanks on Ty Lawson. All right, let's bring up the DFS plays of the day. At point guard, Beno Udrih, 3,500. Drew Holiday, 62. And Isaiah Thomas, 8,600. Shooting guards, Avery Bradley, 49. Eric Gordon, 5,300. And Jimmy Butler, 8,900. Small forwards, PJ Tucker, 45. Nick Batum, 71. And LeBron James, 10,300. Power forwards, Drew Gooden, 3,700. Cody Zeller, 5,200. Anthony Davis, 10,400. And the centers, Nikola Jokic, 46. Hassan Whiteside, 7,200. And Brook Lopez, 8,600. That does it, I think, for today's podcast, guys. Did I miss anything? I think we're good. I think we did everything there. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall. Basketball Monster is Bask Monster on Twitter for all the late-breaking injury news as you go to set your DFS lineups. Check that out. Also, all the great tools over on the site, basketballmonster.com. Trade analyzers, rest of season projections, rankings, the forums, the comments, smart tool, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, ease schedule, heaps of stuff over on Basketball Monster that I do encourage you to go over and become a member of and join. Also, don't forget Hardwood Paroxysm. Podcast still not appearing in the Hardwood Paroxysm feed at the moment. There is issues with the Hardwood Paroxysm feed. You'll see that no podcasts have been updating on there. That should be back in business soon. But check out all those individual podcasts over on the HPB network, which is now housed at Blog Talk Radio, which is our new home for the podcast as well, which hopefully they're bringing some exciting things for us moving forward. We are done, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.